everyone. Welcome to the Bully Food Challenge. Today is episode 52 and it's called Frame Reframe. We've been talking a lot about frames for the last few weeks, and we talked about opposite day, where you do the opposite thing to bring about different results. We've talked about humor. We're going to tie it all together so we can move forward with the idea of working from a different framework. Okay, so I want to make sure you understand, just do a quick review on what we've already talked about. But before I do that, I want to give a big warm welcome to all of you who have been coming out to hear the show. It's great to have you back, and it's also great if you are new that we have new people every week joining in, listening to the lessons we have here today on the show about bullying, the pattern of bullying, and how to overcome it in your life. I'm Kelly Sorg, your host. I'm also the host of the podcast. And I experienced bullying as a kid, and I've also been a middle school teacher for the last 20 years, and I've helped many of my students deal with this problem as well. And so the way that we on this show look at our end of the bullying situation is how we can reduce or eliminate the things we do that might be playing into the cycle of bullying or feeding it. And that's why we call our behaviors or whatever we do that might perpetuate the bullying or feed into the cycle of bullying, we call that bully food. So you don't want to do the bully food behaviors, and we look at that from many different directions. And like I said, in the last few weeks, we've been looking at it in terms of resetting your framework or your outlook on the situation so that you can take control of it from there. Okay, so back to the topic at hand is frames. And I want to make sure you understand what a frame is first in case you haven't listened the last few weeks. And you can always go back and listen to that. And I'm going to actually refer to a few different episodes over the last year that tie into this. So you might be doing a little bit of review with that too. Okay, so a frame is the way you view any interaction and how and your part in it, how you play your part in any interaction. And it in the way you play your part comes from how you view the interaction. So whatever you assume to be true about yourself and others in that situation, what you believe, what you think you can do or can't do, you know, the rules, what you can get away with, how well you understand the rules and you know, kind of where can you bend them. If that's the approach you're taking, that's the frame you're going forward with. The framework of a situation or an interaction creates an underlying context. It's not something people talk about. It's unspoken, but it dictates or it assumes the rules of the interaction or the situation. Or if you were looking at it like in theater, like in a movie, it would be the scenes. And each scene has its own framework. We'll talk a little more about that in a second. So as long as you hold your frame, the reason this is so important is that as long as you hold on to your frame and you maintain your stance, that's another great word for it, it will be stronger than anyone else's around you. And things will more likely go your way because you are able to keep your stance, hold your ground, stand up for yourself, maintain your frame or your way of looking at the situation. If it's easier to think about frame as a frame of mind, then do that. You can also think of it as like a picture frame that's going around the situation and containing it in a certain way, in a certain scene or setting. You can also think about it as looking through frames, like lenses on glasses. And I said this in the last episode, it could be like having rose-tinted glasses might be seeing a rosy picture, even seeing a rosy tint on a picture, even if it's not the best situation. If you've got a good mood, you might see it in a better light because of the lenses and the frame that you're looking through. And then I said you could look at it through the sense of theater acting. It could be like a role you're playing in a certain scene, and how you act in that scene is your frame, okay? And if you can hold on to the way you want to act, the way you plan to go through a certain situation, you're going to have a lot more control in that situation. You're going to control what is said in the situation, what happens between people, and ultimately the options you have for getting what you want, what you most prefer to have happen going forward. So at home, you play a frame. And your frame changes depending on who else is there at home. So if your parents or adults are there, you are a child in the frame. And then as soon as your parents or adults aren't there, then you might be a child with other children. You might be a sibling, or you might be a neighbor friend, or you might be on your own, but doing things that kids do when they get to kind of are free to do whatever they want instead of having to go along with the rules the adults have set or the expectations of the adults have set. Maybe they've got chores they want you to do, or maybe they want you, maybe there are people over and you have to act a certain way according to your family's standards. But when you're on your own, you can kind of set your own, you're more in charge. So I want you to see that in any given situation, you do already know how to change your frame or switch the way that you are operating in that scene, situation, or interaction. At school, you play the student if teachers are there. Whenever you're in a classroom or you're around teachers, you're going to act more studently. And then when the teachers leave, like at lunchtime, and you don't have as many of them around, or maybe you're out on the playground and there's no teachers around, you're going to stop playing student for a while. You're going to have a break, right? And this is actually why bullying occurs. People think bullying occurs in hallways, restrooms, playgrounds, where the teachers aren't as likely to be. And part of that, yes, is because the teachers are there to supervise. But the other part of that is that the kids act in a different frame when the teachers aren't there. So the bullies do too. The bullies are going to not act in a student frame when teachers are not there, which enables them to, when the teachers step away, even if it's just for a few minutes in class, their bullying frame can come out more easily because they're less likely to do that frame in front of teachers. Some students will, and I think you've probably seen that. You've probably seen students who will be a bully to teachers, or the other way around, teachers who bully students, unfortunately. But most of us, in the context of a professional or an authority figure being around, or a professional context, are going to not do a bullying frame or a more competitive, harsh, aggressive frame. We're going to wait until that authority figure steps away. So that should, I think, be making more and more sense to you. Believe it or not, you have already been playing a frame within a frame around the bully and the bully that you're dealing with. And even in the worst bullying interactions, you have already had a frame that you've been working with. And unfortunately, one of two things is true. Either you had a strong, confident frame, but the bully's frame was just, they were just better at holding their frame, and kind of at some point they kind of broke you down and you switched over to their frame, their way of looking at it, their idea of how things should go. Or you might need to improve on the frame you're using around the bully. And that's what we are going to talk about going forward with the rest of this lesson, is how to flip around the frames that you use, especially when you're around the bully. And fortunately, frames that work to remove yourself from a cycle of bullying are also really great frames to have around making new friends. So I think it'll go hand in hand with you moving in a positive direction going forward. So I did forget to say, and I always say this, I want to make sure I say it in every episode, is make sure, because I can't be your teacher personally, at least not here on the show, make sure you sit with an adult or ask an adult you trust to look at the parts of these lessons with you to help you make sense of how to use them to your best advantage. And I usually say that in the introduction, but I wanted to make sure to remind you to do that because I think I forgot to say it this time. So, okay. What we want to do is get you to either be able to maintain your frame that's strong and confident already, or be able to improve your frame by flipping it to something that matches the inner you. Because remember, the bully goes after other kids who they think they can get the better of, but they want that part of you, the better of you, because they on some level view you as strong and confident. It's in there. It's inside you. They wouldn't go after you if you weren't. So we just have to figure out how to get you to put your frame of mind in the direction of the inner part of you, the part of you that the bully already recognizes as strong and worthwhile. That's what they want. They want to get that power from you. That's the bully food. They want that from you, and you're going to not give it. You're going to learn how, in so many different ways, how to withhold the bully food and, you know, give them something that's healthier for everybody, which is the honest truth and feedback and the behavior that they deserve when they act this way. Okay, so there are a couple different aspects of framework that you want to look at and think about as you practice switching from some frames that you've been using to better ones that reflect the more confident you, or how to maintain the ones that already work, but you need to stick your ground. Okay, first is body language. And we have had episodes about body language and nonverbal communication in the past. There's several different ones there. It's usually in the title, so you can look through. But generally, what I want you to remember is that people will accept whatever frame you set in a situation, whatever framework you're looking through, whatever role you're playing, however you view the scene, they'll accept it if you can match it with your body language. If you match it with the right tone and body language, you will be able to carry any belief system you have underneath forward and out for everyone to see. And so, yeah, you can go back to the episodes about body language, but what we learned in those episodes is that the best way to improve your body language is to change what you believe about yourself. Because if you believe something, you're going to act in accordance with it. You are going to match what you think with your behaviors. And then it's going to be natural. You're not going to have to think about what gestures or facial expressions or tones of voice to use or kinds of things to say, because you are going to be operating kind of automatically according to what you believe is true in the situation. All right. And it's more about how you communicate and how you behave than what you actually say or do. Just like last episode, we talked about the importance of if you're attacking somebody's insult at you, you don't want to go after the content of the insult. You want to go after their frame or their context, the way they see the situation. You want to call a bully out on the fact that they think they can be mean, or that they think that's a strategy for success with others. You want to call that out, not what they actually said about you. That's what we talked about last time, and this is the same thing. You want to change your frame of mind so that your attitude, your tone, your gestures, your overall approach to the communication, whatever you think is going to happen, all of that is more evident because you naturally just assume it because it's the role that you're playing. It's the role you've decided to play because it's how you see the situation. All right, so framework is controlling that frame of mind, that framework, that role that you're playing. And once you do that, you're going to control the conversation between you and other people, you and the bully, and also the options you really have in the situation. And humor is a good indicator or a good way to switch someone into a more positive frame. And then it is easy to control a more positive frame because people like to be in a positive state of mind. So if you can get the bully to laugh with you at something, and I don't mean laughing at you because of something you did, but like, you know, that they are in with you on a joke that you made them laugh, that's a great way to or you made yourself laugh. Either way, it's a great, that works for, it works both ways. If you can switch over to a humorous frame, whether it's because you amused yourself or it's because you amused the bully, it's a great way to reset the frame. And this is why I encourage you to practice and watch comedy, because the more fun and funny you can be, the more playful you can be, the more naturally, kind of subconsciously, you will switch into that jokey, goofy, who cares framework. And that's a really powerful position to be in, because people enjoy it, and because you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to be kind of, once you're in that state of mind, you don't really kind of are carefree, and you can make yourself have a good time. So you're not really worried about what other people, if they play along or not. But if you make the bully laugh, it's an indication that you just controlled their frame, at least for a second. You got them out of the aggressive frame or the mean frame or the bullying frame they were, the unpleasant, unfriendly frame they were in. And now they're playful and upbeat, at least for the moment. So that laughter indicates that you have given them a frame change and that they're on board with your frame is really the key here. Any emotional shift, though, will indicate this. If you can get the bully to get confused or get frustrated or get sad or whatever, those are also indications that they've switched over. They're reacting and responding to you, which means you're in control of the scene now. But it's a little easier and lighter for you to control fun and playfulness and kind of get them on board and keep them on board with you in that fun playfulness than it is if you're upsetting them. but they upset you and they've been able to control your frame in that mode. So we know it can work. It's just not optimal. But if the bully's reacting to your frame, then they are now in your frame, and that means you're in control. Okay. And this means you get to decide how you're going to view the interaction and the way it best suits you. If one frame isn't working that you've been using, you know, if you've been kind of doing the laughing, playful, friendly frame and they're not playing along with that, they're not laughing, they're not being friendly, you can always switch to the I'm the boss, or I'm bored frame, you know, and see if that works. It's okay to switch your frame as long as you're not switching to theirs. You want them to switch over to yours, or at least you want to be able to stay in yours. Even if they don't switch to yours, if you are able to maintain yours for yourself, then that comes across. People know if you are not switching for them, then you're standing your ground. You're not going to be messed with, and they need to move on to somebody who will. That's ultimately it. If you're not going to dish out the bully food, they will move on to somebody who will, or they will learn that they'll finally learn their lesson that bully food isn't so good for anybody after all. So the last thing to keep in mind is that you're doing all of this so that you have options to be able to get your way, to be able to get what you want out of the situation, to be able to move things forward in your direction. Okay. And so if you're doing all of this personal development work, learning how to use stronger frames and how to hold on to your way of seeing things and operate from within that standpoint and that frame, if you're doing all that hard work, you're doing it so that you can have more options and be able to get to a better place, get to what you want more easily, right? So part of that is learning how to create those better options. Because a lot of the time when we have been bullied a lot, especially, we get into this idea that what other people say is going to work is the only option. And you never want to limit yourself to what others think is possible. I mean, yes, they're right. They have possibilities in their mind that could play out and work. But it's good to know what they see as options. But that doesn't mean you need to go along with it. And you always need to be ready to define the list of options yourself. So once again, you're going to steer the conversation by changing what you believe And then you'll change your beliefs because you know you have options. Okay. So you can't change your frame of mind if you don't believe that you're going for something better and that that's actually completely within your power. Okay. So quickly repeating, I want to make sure you understand you are going to be relying on body language and tone of voice to hold your frame. That's primarily how you're going to pull this whole thing off. And the way that you hold your body language and hold that frame of mind is by believing that the frame is true. All right. And you know that you should have good frame and good framework practice because if you can hold the conversation, then you get to control the options. And you know that you should be creating multiple options for yourself so that you have many different ways to get in and out of this situation. But you're not going to have that underlying belief that steers all that body language in that great framework. You're not going to have that belief if you don't believe ultimately that you have these great options. So I want you to start thinking about what are the possibilities, not just what have other people outlined as various possibilities, but what do you see as possible? And what do you want? What do you really want to get? You've got to be able to start dreaming bigger and having more ideas of what you could get out of this situation and where you could go with it. Once you've created those options and you believe in them, then you're going to believe in the frame that you're doing. The body language and the tone of voice is going to follow that belief, and you're going to carry it off, and everybody's going to respond to your frame, which means you are going to be in the control of the situation, and that it's self-fulfilling at that point. Okay, so I hope you're starting to understand how you build it, maintain it, support it within yourself, and get other people to buy into the way you see things. Now you want to look at what frames do you actually want to switch to, okay? Frames that work against bullies are the ones that haven't worked so far. They're the exact opposite of the ones that haven't worked so far, okay? So I've made just a quick little list. but anything that you were, any frame of mind you were in that didn't work so well around the bully, just think, what's the opposite frame of mind? What's the opposite stance of that? That's where that opposite day comes back in. And do that instead, okay? So here's some examples. This is a waste of my time. This situation with you, bully, is a waste of my time. It's a big, huge waste of my time. That is the opposite frame or frame of mind than this is highly important, very stressful. I've got to get it just right or else the worst outcome, right? If you treat it as this is a waste of my time, this situation with you is a nothing burger, bully. And I, as soon as it's over, the better, right? Think about how different you're going to be if you view every time you're around the bully as a waste of time. You're going to be so different than if you're thinking, oh gosh, if I don't do things just right in this situation, oh boy, it's going to really mean, terrible outcomes for me. If you're thinking of it as the only bad outcome is the amount of time I waste around this person. Okay, another great frame is I'm calm or bored, which is the opposite of I'm anxious. Being bored or calm is kind of that indifferent, chilled out mindset that is, it's slow, it's mellow, it's kind of like you get to it when you get to it, take it or leave it, less is more. It's all of those bully food principles wrapped into one versus I've got to fight this, I've got to make it stop, this is awful, this is upsetting, I'm scared, I'm worried, I can't, this is out of my control. All of that is anxious, right? What's going to happen next? What if this? What if that? Calm and bored is I barely remembered to think about it because I'm My mind is on other things, or I'm carefree, I'm mellow. And so that frame of mind, that frame, I'm calm or I'm bored, is great around a bully because it's the opposite of what they want, which is for you to be constantly upset and worried and anxious. And so what do you do when you're calm and bored? You might, you know, kind of like, what are you, just visually, what do you do? What are your visual cues is what I mean. Like, you might even be like, like, I'm so bored. Or you might be like, the bully might say something that they do all the time and you just go, oh boy, here we go again. That's what a calm or bored person says. A anxious person's like, oh gosh, they said this thing and last time it was really bad and embarrassing and I hope it doesn't happen. Like that, they want you in that state of mind. So if you can just be like, oh boy, here we go again. Okay. That's the frame set. And it's basically, if you believe you're bored or you believe you're calm, you're going to act like I just acted naturally. You don't have to think about it. That's the beauty of it. Okay, another one is I'm number one, and the opposite of that is you're number one, bully, or someone else is number one. And you could think of that as I'm in charge. That's the frame. I'm in charge versus you're in charge, or people look to me versus people look to you. I call the shots versus you call the shots. I think you see what I mean. If you're acting like you're number one or you're the boss or you're in charge, you're more confident, you're going to do things like telling them how it's going to be, right? If you were feeling like they're in charge, you're not going to tell them how it's going to be. I think that's pretty obvious when you think about people who actually are in charge in your life, like teachers or parents. You don't walk up to your teacher and say, let me tell you how it's going to be, teach. You know, and if you do, I mean, there are kids who act like that, and they actually are surprisingly effective with a lot of teachers because it's so surprising and it's kind of funny, especially if they can do it in a light, playful way. It's funny. It's that where they interrupt the frame of the teacher and they set a new frame with humor, and then the teacher's like, oh well, I'll listen to this kid because they've got a great plan for themselves, right? Obviously, some teachers are just going to get really irritated because this kid is stepping out of the frame and the teacher's holding the frame of, I'm in charge, you're not in charge, and stop acting like that because it's rude, right? So you got to read the situation, but with another kid, you can, why shouldn't you be able to be in charge? Why should they be able to be in charge over you? You know, you can call it just as much as they can. So, if you are acting like the boss around someone else, you're going to tell them how things are going to go. That's one just obvious, natural behavior that a person in the frame of mind that they're in charge, they're going to start giving people orders. And if you start giving the bully orders because you're in the frame of mind that you're in charge of the situation, they, as long as you hold to that frame, they're going to see it. They're going to go, oh. They're going to respond to it. And that means even if they don't respond to it positively, they're still responding to your frame that you set and your expectations and your beliefs about the situation. Okay. A great one too is that we're friendly or we're friends. That's collaborative frame versus we are enemies or we are competitors, which is a competitive frame. And you've already been competing with the bully on their terms. It's the tug of war rope, that whole idea. You're pulling back on their tension that they're trying to create. When you drop the rope, which is something we've talked about in the episode about that, it's similar to just sort of assuming friendship or assuming friendliness and sticking with it. I do this a lot with students who kind of are maybe a little bit anxious about talking to a teacher, or maybe they're annoyed with me, or they don't like authority figures in general, and I'll just be friendly through any unfriendliness that they do. And I just hold the frame that we're friends, we're friendly, we're not friends like buddies, but friend like we're on friendly terms. The frame I'm setting and the frame I'm living by and acting with is that we're friendly. And they usually go along with it after they see that I'm not gonna switch from it. Once again, the more you hold on to your frame, the more likely other people are gonna jump into it instead of you jumping into theirs. And you never want to jump into a bully's frame. That's just bully food times 1,000. Okay, so as a quick activity, just to get yourself started on this, is imagine, let's say, the frame that you're bored. Whenever the bully comes in the room or deals with you in any way, you become very, very bored. And then ask yourself, what naturally comes to mind? What do I naturally do in this frame of mind? I'm bored. What do I do? What do I naturally do when I'm bored? How do I treat other people when I'm bored? What kind of stuff do I say? What facial expressions do I make when I'm bored? What can I get away with around the bully saying or doing? How far can I push this frame of mind that I'm bored with them and their nonsense? And then, you know, check as you visualize acting in this way and being in this frame around the bully, think, is this working? Would this work around my bully? Being bored, would it work? If it's not, maybe another one of those frames I suggested, or one that you come up with. Something that you're doing that isn't working, do the opposite and see if that frame of mind produces the results that you want. Maybe you need to switch and you need to ask, do I need to switch out of this frame? Or what do I want and what are my options? So you're going back to that, the whole driving reason that you're even doing this framework is so that you can control the conversation, so you can get the options that best suit you. So you need to have a lot of cool options in mind. And the more options you have in mind about how things could go beneficially to you, the more you are going to believe in yourself and the more you're going to be able to hold on to a very strong and confident frame. Okay? So it's just that self-fulfilling cycle. You're trying to create a positive spin versus the negative spin of bully food and feeding into the bully's frame of how they set up the interaction and the rules they play by. You're not playing by those rules anymore. That's the whole moral of the story. Okay. And then the second step, after you've visualized yourself within the frames that you think will be most helpful to you in the situation with your bully, then you start acting in that new frame around people who are low stakes. So friends, neighbor kids, people at home, family members, family friends, random kids at school. If it works to act that way with your teachers, that's fine. Use the new frame in low stakes situations so that you get, it's basically creating muscle memory. You're learning how to do it when you're not really too worried about how it goes. And you're perfecting it in front of the people that aren't high pressure. And then even if you don't even want to do it in front of the bully, because you've been practicing in this way, you've been acting in this new frame, you are going to do this in front of the bully. It's just going to happen more and more. It's you kind of can't help it because it's just the new you. It's kind of how you roll now. And it will come out more and more, and the more it comes out and works for you, the more you're gonna feel good about doing it intentionally. Okay, and then, you know, once you're used to these new frames, they're going to just seep into your regular interactions with everyone. And as I said, it works against a bully to have confidence and have a number one attitude and to be calm and to be you think that crummy behavior is a waste of your time, and you're willing to assume friendship versus competitiveness. All of that stuff works great with making new friends too. So this is going to be beneficial to you in both getting out of the bullying situation, but also into some better social situations. So I highly recommend practicing it, and you'll have a lot of fun once you start realizing that you can basically play in any role that you've been already playing a role, so might as well play it one that's going to benefit you better. All right, I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next time. Bye.